One more time, we desire your prayers. The Lord will help us. Now, I've had this message on my heart before I ever left my home to come out here. I was riding my tractor, mowing, and asking the Lord for something, and He gave us this. Now, He's kind of changed things around a little bit in the... Thank you. In the fact that He gave us other messages before this, but I can't get rid of this particular thought. It just stays with me. So we're going to deliver it this afternoon by the help of the Lord. And I know this is a hard service for us. It's hard for you and it's hard for me. It's hard to stay awake and it's hard to me to preach to a lot of people that's asleep. So let's try to stay awake this afternoon. I have to confess, I've for some reason been extremely tired, and I've had a hard time staying awake on the preachers myself. I'll just confess that, but maybe I can do better by the help of the Lord. Now, this is a subject that is the Word of God, and it is something that is a help to other people. It is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's been a great blessing to a lot of people through the years. It is a great attribute of God in Christ, and it's something that you and I need to practice and ever strive to practice at as we're going through life's way. Let's start out here in Titus, about the 3rd chapter here, in the 4th verse. We'll read a little bit. No, let me change that. Yes, no. Let's go to Ephesians 2nd chapter. Start there. Ephesians 2nd chapter here. And about the 4th verse, 2 and 4 of Ephesians said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, I'm thankful this afternoon that the plan of salvation is available to all of us. It is not locked up to any race, any line of riches or authority or anything like this, but it's open to all of us by faith, thank the Lord. And this afternoon, my burden lies in this, let's see, the 4th to 7th verse here, talking about Christ here, talking about us sitting in heavenly places. And it goes on, it said that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, what I want to talk about this afternoon is kindness. Now, this is something that, like I said, all of us need to have and demonstrate and work with. Somebody said, "Well, I'm real kind to everybody." Well, thank the Lord for that. But I got news for you. I met some people in dealing with some people that just ain't so kind. And there is some people around that are kind of blunt-spoken, and sometimes I can be that way a little bit, and they're the type of people that they need to mix a lot of kindness in with their bluntness, because if they don't, it stings pretty good when they get through. And I'm thinking here today that the world is real hurtful to a lot of people. And I'm wondering this afternoon, just do we need a real kind friend? Have we been dealt with bad by the world, and the world's been hard on us, and maybe on the job, and maybe in our families, and maybe among the neighbors, and maybe among different people? People have been real hard on us, and real unmerciful, and real unkind, and they've dealt some real severe blows to our life, and we're kind of groping around and kind of needing somebody for a real kind friend. And I want to introduce to him this afternoon, and that's the Lord Jesus. Praise God. This is the kindest individual that I know of anywhere in any place. Now, he can use a rod. He can deal with souls. But he'll work in such a way that he can heal the blows and heal the hurts and work in a way that'll be a real blessing to you, spiritually speaking, through the ages. But bless God, Christ specializes in helping the down and outers. Praise God. He gets behind them. He lifts them up. He blesses their soul. He helps them. He visits the hospitals. He goes down in the penitentiaries. He goes in the prisons. He goes in the jails. He gets down there in places, praise God, that a lot of ministers may never get to or not have time to. Bless God, the Lord's already been there. Praise the Lord. I know of a case one time. It was my wife, and she was having problems after her first child was born, and she was going through some real battles, and they called me on the phone. I was at work, and somebody that was staying with her, one of the sisters, said, Carl, I think you need to get some people together, some of the saints, and come in and anoint her and pray for her. I said, Sister Becky's in a real battle. So I talked to her a little bit there, and then I called back in a little while to check on her again. I said, I'm gathering up the saints and sisters and so forth, ministered. We're going to come down. And I'm talking to her there. I said, how you doing? She said, I'm doing real well, dear. I said, the Lord has come down. Praise God. He beat us all there. Praise the Lord. In His kindness. I'm going to tell you, when everything looks down and out, is all you need is a visit from the Lord. And He'll turn you around and lift you up and do things nothing else can do. Praise God. This afternoon, how many times have you been down and out? How many times could you not sleep at night on your bed? How many times have you been down and weeping and crying, not knowing what to do with something, and He just stepped in and maybe sat down beside you or stood next to you or knelt, so to speak, right with you, praise God, and turned that old thing around, give you a scripture, give you a song, bless you in your soul, encourage your heart, strengthen you, and done things that nobody else could do, praise God. And He done it so kind. He done it so gentle, thank the Lord. Oh, this afternoon, I'm going to tell you, there's one great individual that's the greatest of all mankind, praise God, and that's the Christ Jesus, praise the Lord. He said that in the ages to come, I'm going to tell you, God was specializing way back yonder, that in the ages to come, which is our time, He was going to show His exceeding riches of His grace. He was going to demonstrate it, bring it out, show it to the whole world, praise God, through the real kindness towards us through Christ Jesus, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, that riches of grace is the greatest. You can never exhaust it. I'm going to tell you, some banks is in trouble today because people pull so much on the reserves and on their capital that they've gone plumb under, and different things. And they made bad loans and bad deals, and everything began to go awry on them, and they was in real trouble. But I'm going to tell you, saints, this afternoon, and anyone else here, you cannot exhaust the grace of God. Praise God. It's free as the air we breathe, and He's got an exceeding abundantly above, more great than we're able to pull down on, praise God. When we think we got things aren't enough of it, here comes some more, praise the Lord, just coming down, just exceedingly abundantly above that which we're able to ask or think, praise God. His exceeding riches of His grace, praise God. I'm going to tell you, riches, abundant riches, praise God. All right, now then, let's turn to Titus a minute here, and let's look at it. You pray for us. Kindness. Now, what is being kind? Kindness is goodwill. It's that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others. is disposed to do good to others and to make them happy by granting their requests, supplying their wants, or assisting them in distress, having tenderness or goodness of nature. It's proceeding from tenderness or goodness of heart. The synonym for it is tender, affectionate, well-disposed, tender-hearted. Now, I don't know anybody in most ways that is more tender, more affectionate, more well-disposed, and tender-hearted than the Lord. Now, over here in Titus, he's talking here about the third verse, "For we ourselves also are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." But after that, now folks, some of us was at least part of these, and some of us was all of these. We pretty bad folks, wasn't we, when we was in sin? I'm going to tell you, we ain't got no horn to toot. We ain't got no flag to lift, so to speak, except surrender to the Lord. That we was a bad people. Somebody said, well, I was real good. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of people is tied up in this kind of thing right here. They were deceived. They were disobedient. They were serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But after all of this, oh, I love these scriptures. After all of this, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Praise the Lord. Now, people in that kind of condition, and yet the Lord come down in His love and in His mercy and in His loving kindness, and He come on the scene and begin to work with us. Praise God. We trampled on His goodness, His mercy, His life. We used His name in vain. We trampled over Him in every way. We spit upon Him, so to speak. We put the crown of thorns on His head. We crucified Him over and over. We done many things that was hurtful, and yet the kindness and love of Jesus Christ come right on down in the midst of the situation and said, "Son, give me your heart. Daughter, give me your heart. Child, I need you. Praise God. I want to help you." And here we are. We didn't deserve it. It was all we deserved is a quick reproof and a cast into a lost world. But the kindness of God come on the scene, and He dealt with us in a gentle and a kind and a loving way. That was a real blessing to every soul. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, this afternoon, the Lord is a tender, kind Lord. He's one that is a real blessing to everybody. I just don't see how one thing that's kept me scratching my head through the years is why people don't serve the Lord. Why He just doesn't get down and get to be with the Lord. And here it is, 6 and 35 of Luke puts it this way. He says, "Love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil." He's kind, see, to the unthankful. Folks, there's a lot of people in the world that's unthankful today. If you consider, most of mankind is like the old hogs that's out in the pen eating their acorns off the ground, just a grunting and a munching and going about doing their thing, and they're not even thankful, and the acorns are falling right down all around and feeding them all the time. And most mankind is the same way. Unthankful. Evil. One brother told me a story of a vision he had, or told me about the vision. He said, he's a pretty good friend of mine, saved, living for the Lord. God done a lot for him. And he's got a farm. That's his sideline, so to speak. He's got a business on top of that he runs. And he said he was down in a pig pen praying. He liked to get down there and he liked to pray around a pig pen. And he said that he got to looking at them old hogs one day, And he said there they were out there, and said they'd get out there and they'd just wall in that old mire and muck, and said they'd be dirty and caked with dirt and just filthy and dirty. And then he got to thinking about them beautiful ham hocks and all that good bacon and them big hams and all this stuff that he had taken, killed them hogs, and the finished product was something very delicious and edible and nice and nourishing. And he thought, Lord, how can something so beautiful come out of something so dirty? And oh, he looked at them old pigs. And them old pigs, they'd come out of the mire and they'd go right back and just wallowing, making a mess. And he looked that over, and the Lord gave him a vision of souls. He said, souls go down there and they wallow in the muck and mire of sin, and are down there like the prodigal son was down there in the hog pen, bless your heart. I'm going to tell you, souls are just rolling and getting down deep in the pig pen, eating the husk. Ain't got nothing nourishing to eat. Eating off the old things of the world. Getting involved in the depths of the world. And they ain't getting anything that's nourishing to their soul. They're just a wallering in the pen. And so here they are. And he said there, he saw the Lord then take them souls and bring them out and wash them in the blood and bring them out. And when he got through with them, he said there was a beautiful individual. Praise God. How many people have you seen and know that you've listened to through the years? And they said, well, at one time I used to be like this. And you look at them and you say, really? Or you think, really? I've seen older saints and I've heard them testify what kind of sinners they used to be, and drinking and smoking and carousing and chasing women and chasing men and all kind of things, drinking and I don't know, some of them drugging and all kind of things. And I look out and think, really? Why? Because there's such a change, see. The kindness of the love of God come along, and He's kind to the unthankful. He's kind to the evil. He's kind to every soul of man that is born into this world. Praise God. And this afternoon, you and I need to be thankful that He was kind to you and I and brought us up and out of the muck and mire and put us on a solid rock. Praise God. He put us out there in a place that's clean. Put us out there in a place that's beautiful. Praise God. All right. Let's go to Jonah here. Jonah, the 4th chapter, 1st verse. Kindness. We all need a kind friend through life. Sometimes, some people maybe have several friends, number of friends. But I would say generally, through your life, you may have one or two individuals that you're basically closer to as far as friendship, outside of your wife or your husband, outside of your family. That I would say there generally may be one or two people that you're soul to soul with and knit very close. They're closer to you. You poured your heart out to them. You've spent many hours. They've been very kind to you. They've lent you money. They've helped you in hard times in many ways. They've been to meeting with you. Maybe they've traveled with you. I'm talking about a bosom friend, bless your heart. I'm going to tell you this afternoon, people need a kind bosom friend through life. Well, like I said, the greatest bosom friend is Christ. But yet, if we need that, if we need this type of individual, doesn't other people need it too? And if they do, can we fill that spot? Can we pay it back? People look on the people. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's get on down here in Jonah. And then we'll get down here more to the different things here in a minute. Jonah here, he said here in the 4th chapter, and he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, For I knew that thou art a gracious God and a merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thou of the evil. Now what Jonah's saying here is the Lord told him to go do something, and he didn't want to do it because he knew God was all these attributes anyway, and knew the Lord was probably going to repent and not destroy Nineveh, and he's wanting him to go down there and cry out and do it. And he said, well, Lord, you're all of this. Why should I do it? You're slow to anger. You're merciful. You're gracious. You're kind. You're going to repent of this anyway. Why should I have to go down there and do something? Praise God. He said, of great kindness. Now then, there's kindness, and then there's great kindness. I'm going to attribute that goes the second mile. I'm going to attribute that to getting down into things when people maybe should be at a point of maybe not quite so kind. That's the second mile kindness. Praise God. Alright, in Nehemiah 9:17 said, and they refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. I'm going to tell you, saints, the kindness and the mercy and the goodness of God, when there was times that we turned our back and kept us going, just like Jonah, he went down in the very depths. He went down in the bottom of the sea, so to speak, and the Lord allowed this, but God didn't leave him down there. He spoke to him in the bottom of the sea, and he brought him back up. Praise God. His kindness, see, went along with him and forsooketh him not. He went along. He talked to him. He dealt with him. He helped him, praise God. And this afternoon, the Lord is right there. He doesn't forsake us. He stays with us. In a sense, I'm not saying he deals with us every day, but what I'm saying, he's there to give you chance, more than likely, in his mercy, more than one time. Praise God. That's his kindness, his great kindness, his mercy seat. All right, let's get down here to the Church of God and talk a little while here. 31:21 of Psalms. Now then, we've gotten saved and delivered and born into the church. And he says here in 31:21 of Psalms, it said, blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me a marvelous kindness in a strong city. Now I'm thinking about the Church of God being the strong city. And I'm thinking about now you've been brought out and you've seen his kindness towards you as a sinner. And now then he's shown much more marvelous, a warm, loving kindness towards us after we're saved. Praise God. He's right there. He's helping us out. He's tender with us. Listen, folks, when you're a young babe, you need somebody to be real tender with you. Praise God. And the Lord is real kind. He's real tender. He's real gentle. I'm going to tell you, I've had people say that's had several years' experience living for the Lord, and they say, I should have learned that 2 years ago. And yet they've just gone on, and God's been kind to them and dealt with them and helped them out. I'm going to tell you, His kindness and His long-suffering goes a long ways. Praise God. Oh, this afternoon, He said here that thou, blessed be the Lord. And listen, folks, we need to praise God for His kindness to us this afternoon. We need to praise God and bless Him for all the goodness that He has done for us through the ages. For He showed me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. Now then, saints, how much marvelous kindness have we shown in the strong city? Here we're in the Church of God. Here we're the saints of God. I'm going to get it close by the help of the Lord before we get through this afternoon. And I'm thinking this afternoon, He showed us wonderful, marvelous kindness. How much have we shown? Now the world is looking for a friend. The world knows that, a lot of them anyway, some of them anyway, however you want to say it, that the Lord is kind and He's good, and we say we're the Church of God and the saints of God, and we've got all the truth and so forth, and if we're not kind to people, how are they going to respond to that? How are we kind to one another? That gets pretty close here. How are we showing marvelous kindness to one another in the church of God? In the strong city, in the place that God has made a refuge and a blessing and everything to a lot of people, praise God. And I'm going to get on down in here and name some things out after a while. But Lord, help us this afternoon. Let's go to Isaiah 54. And look here a minute. Now this kindness don't just stop. He's talking about the he's comforting the church here, back here in the old time, with some gracious promises. And it said here in about the 7th verse, 54 and 7, said, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." Now then, I want to parallel that with the 19th chapter of Proverbs. And about the 22nd verse here, 19:22 of Proverbs, it said, "The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar." Now the desire of a man is his kindness. That which maketh a man to be desired is his kindness. Now, people want to have friends, and the Bible said that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now then, if you want to have friends and you want people to be attracted to you, and he says here that the desire of a man is kindness. People desire kindness and love shown to them, praise God. Kindness makes a man attractive. Now the Lord said here, he goes here a little bit, he said, "Everlasting kindness." Now what does that mean? Doesn't that indicate that it's a kindness that's going to go on and on, that's not going to stop? It goes on. See, it's continuous all the time. There is some people that seem like, as I'm trying to bring out a while ago, their kindness goes so far and then it can stop. But God goes on. Now, if we're His children, should not our kindness go on, praise God? Should it not be everlasting as much as it can? What I mean by that is He is eternal, and we're not eternal at this point. But His kindness goes on with us over and over, and here we are, we're getting in a tight place, and you say, well, it's time to set that person straight, it's time to deal with them right up front, it's time to lay the truth down, but in the whole process, we need to be kind with it. There is time that judgment needs to be laid down. Judgment first begins at the house of God, the Bible said. And I believe in that, but at the same time, if God hadn't had kindness on us and dealt with us and laid nothing but judgment, we wouldn't even be here. So Lord, help us to lay out some everlasting kindness. If we're going to be attractive to people, kindness makes a man attractive. There was a young man that got saved a number of years ago. And it was at Monarch, and I've known the boy most of his life, and he had been pretty wayward and pretty this and pretty that. Got way on out there. He went to the altar, and he got saved, and he's held an experience now for quite a while. And he made a statement. He said, "It wasn't the fear of hell that turned me to the Lord, but His love drawing my heart." Now, it was that love, no doubt, and that kindness that has been a drawing card to a lot of people. And here we are, the church of God, and we want to reach out, and we want to help people, and we want to pull them in. I'm going to tell you what's going to pull them in is the kindness and the love that we show to folks is going to make us attractive. Praise God. Now, the Bible said there, talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Let me see here. Let me get this here. People are going to want to want to inspect this fruit. And he said here that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Now, if you run this out on a translation, the word gentleness here can be changed to kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now then, people are out there, and they're going to be, and people around the saints, loved ones, and friends, and so forth that know us, they're going to be inspecting our fruit from time to time. And what are they going to inspect when they come to this part of it? Kindness. Have we really been as kind as we ought to be? Have we really shown the everlasting kindness? Have we gone the second mile with people? Maybe the third mile. All right, let's go on a little bit. 2 Samuel 9. Let's get a couple of instances here in the Bible where people have been kind to somebody. 2 Samuel 9 here. Somebody get me Acts 28, 1 and 2, please. Acts 28, 1 and 2. All right. I'm going to get a translation on that in Acts also. So here we are now. We've got a story here of David, I believe it is. And he asked the story there. He said, and David said, first verse, he said, is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now I thought this was quite an illustration and story here. Happening of David, King David. He said, is there anybody left that I may show him kindness? Anybody. He didn't limit that to just certain people. But he said, is there any left that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said to him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Now this is just clinching down what I've been saying. That I may show the kindness of God unto him. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Now, Lord help us. That'd probably stop some people right there. I don't want that person around. Lord help us, saints. Sometimes if people just ain't so-and-so and whole and this and that, seems like some people don't want to show any love or kindness to them. Now, I'm not chiding anybody. But Brother Egbert Allen told me when I was working with him, he could not, unless I let him around or somebody else, he couldn't just walk out and go mix and mingle with the crowd. And yet, you know, there was a lot of time nobody would walk up to him and speak to him. Lord help us. Now here he was blind. And I'm going to tell you, he had a good personality and he had this word in his mind. He could preach the word. He could bring it out. And yet people just kind of wouldn't pay much attention. Now here's David. He wouldn't have to pay any attention. Here's the great King David. And he wouldn't have to do this. And he's out looking to show the kindness of God to somebody. Now, we can show the kindness of God to people too. This man's lame in his feet. Do you know that when you're down and out, especially when you're physically crippled, are maimed or something in such a way that you know you're the different person anyway, so to speak. And don't you know that it'd be a great blessing to your heart and mind for somebody to come along and show you some attention and kindness? Show you some love? And Wasn't it Peter and John, wasn't it, when they'd gone in the tank, in the temple there, and that man was lame at his feet, he was a beggar, I believe he'd been that way all of his life, and here he was, and he asked alms of them, and they didn't have anything but the Lord to give to him, and they was a real blessing. What happened if they just, well, I don't have nothing to you, and they just walked on? I'm going to tell you, they set that man's life on a glory-bound way, didn't they? Praise God. I'm going to tell you, they changed it. What about the other times through the Scriptures in the New Testament where people approach Christ and come to them or maybe approach the ministers there? There was times that the apostles over there, through their carnality and so forth, they wanted to just turn people away. Who was it was using the deal? Maybe Brother Hill this morning was talking about was talking about the woman there that come up, and I believe had a daughter, wasn't it, that was devil-possessed or something, and approached the Lord, and he started to turn away. But in that, the apostles, I believe, said, just send her away, Lord. Just don't have nothing to do with it. And yet, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, there was a difference there, see. Here they are trying to do everything they can do. But listen, folks, if the Lord would have turned people away like that through the time, there'd been a lot of people in trouble. But he showed his kindness to them. Praise God. Lame in his feet here. King said to him, where is he? He didn't say, well, you just go on your way. Let's not worry about this. He said, where is he? Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Micah, the son of Amiel in Lodibar. And the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Micah, the son of Amiel, and from Lodibar. And now when, I can't even pronounce this word, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, whatever that name is, and David said, call his name, and he answered, behold thy servant. David said to him, fear not. For I will surely show thee the kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Now he knew what he was. He was lame. He looked down on his own self, so to speak. And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I've given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. There, thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But thy master's son shall eat bread always at my table. Always. He's going to take care of him, isn't he? This is quite a kindness, folks. This is a king. This ain't just Brother Bruner from Akron, Ohio's going to do this, or Brother Hill from Oklahoma City. We're kings too, don't get me wrong. But this back then was the king, and he's showing immense kindness to a lame man, bless your heart. He's reaching down. He restored him the land. Yes. And he did not only do that, but then he's going to take care of him continuously all the rest of his life. That's quite a blessing, isn't it? Kindness. This man's kindness went a long way down. The Lord wants our kindness to go a long way too. Now let's have 28 of Acts in the first verse there, in the second verse.
And when they were escaped...
Then they knew that the island was called Melita.
And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness.
For
they kindled a fire.
And
received us every one.
Because
of the present rain.
Because it was on the cold.
And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire.
All right, go ahead.
There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand.
All right.
And when the barbarians saw the venomous piece hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, his vengeance suffers not to live."
All right, let's stop there. He said here that the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. In other words, what that is saying, they showed them uncommon kindness. They showed them remarkable friendliness. No common philanthropy. I have a hard time pronouncing that word. But in other words, philanthropy, I can't pronounce that just right, according is an attribute of God also. And here these people were showing these strangers, so to speak, and helping them and showing them great kindness and friendliness and marked them and helped them, praise God. They was in trouble, and it went on the venomous snake there bidding, and it dropped off, and then the Lord, I believe, just shook it off, felt no harm, and when they looked on that, everything was well. He didn't fall down dead. And I believe they said, surely the gods have come down or something. In other words, they recognized, said here they changed their mind and said that he was a god. That's the way it was. And that he was a god. It was a remarkable incident to them, and they really appreciated it. All right, now, let's go over here to 1 Corinthians 13. Kindness. Kindness. How kind are we to somebody else? First Corinthians 13:4 said, "Charity suffereth long and is unkind." Kind. All right. "Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up." All right. Now, get a little translation on that. I love this chapter in this little book I have here. It really breaks these words down and gives some real good meaning to them. All right. Now, Clark says on this, "It is tender and compassionate in itself, and kind and obliging to others. It is mild, gentle, benign, and is called, and if called to suffer, inspires the sufferer with the most amiable sweetness and of the most tender affection." Now, Lord help us, saints, how do we react when we get sick? Now, one brother told on himself in a meeting here recently that he got sick and said he was wanting some attention. Said his wife was there and his daughter was there. And I don't know if his son was there or not. Maybe he was there. And he wanted a drink of water, and he called out, and nobody was responding. He called out again. Nobody responded. About three or four times, nobody was responding. Finally, "Anybody hear me?" He got just a little bit whatever. And his wife let him know, said, "What you getting so grumpy about? What are you grumpy for?" Lord help us. When we get out sick, I know that in different areas of sickness, it can affect the mind, the body, and so forth. But when we've got our right mind and we've got enough control of ourselves in our sickness, one thing I think would be a real beautiful attribute to have would be very kind towards others when they're working with us. Can we do that? Can we be patient? Can we be kind? I'm going to tell you, you may think it's a lot of fun to maybe care for some people. But in caring for the sick ones, the ones doing the caring need to be kind. But the one that is sick needs to be kind also. He said he had called to suffer, inspires to suffer. Now, this is the love of God with the most amiable sweetness and the most tender affection. Now, one thing I wanted to do when I was sick in 87 is I wanted to be patient And I don't remember if I used the word kindness, but I wanted to be kind too. My wife had quite a chore. I had a 3- and 4-month-old baby and a big one too to take care of, so to speak. And it wasn't easy in the fact that I didn't give her a hard time, but I went through some things in my body that was not very pleasant, and odors and things of serious infection that had set in on my body and caused me all kind of agonizing pain and misery. When that stuff started flowing and coming out, it wasn't pleasant, bless your heart. But my dear companion, my father and Brother Sammons, they were very kind and gentle. And one night, one brother there in the congregation at Green Bank, they blessed my soul. All of them did. Not just one of them. But I guess I could tell his name. Brother Tony, he went down to Wednesday night prayer meeting. Not with me. That touched me, saints. We need to be kind when somebody is sick. We need to show them some kindness. We need to visit with them. Old Brother White over there, he come around about every day or every other day, and he come by and spend some time with me just chatting and visiting, trying to encourage me and so forth, and I appreciate that. Some kindness towards the sick, praise God. The sick have enough battles to put up with without you and I being unkind to them, bless your heart. Show them some things and helping them and serving them. And anything I can do for you? Well, I'll go to town and get you something. Here's some ice cream. I understand you like ice cream. Here's some good ice cream. Well, here's some milk, special milk that I know would be a blessing to you. And just doing little things. It don't have to be big things, but just bring them some roses, so to speak. Now, I'm not talking about literal roses so much. Sister Geneva Ray was sick. She wasn't sick. She nearly got killed in an accident a number of years ago. And some of you might remember it. And she was over there, and it was an accident. Wasn't nobody there to stop her from going to the hospital or them taking her. She was knocked out, I believe it was, and she didn't have no say, and they just took her in the hospital way off away from Guthrie, down about Memphis, I believe it was. And it was during the Myrtle Camp meeting, I believe. But anyway, she said that she was thinking, nobody has bought me any flowers. Husband hadn't got her none. Nobody had got her any. She was laying up here in this hospital, no flowers anywhere. And the Lord gave her a vision, so to speak. He said, you've had a lot of flowers. The saints have come in here one after another. And he said, there's your flowers right there. Praise God. They'd come down from Myrtle, and Brother Sammons had gone down there to help them out and all kind of things. He said, there's your flower. Listen, folks, we can be flowers to one another. Praise God. We can brighten up the world. We can brighten up the corner. We can brighten up the room right where we're at with our kindness and our gentleness and our love toward one another. Praise God. Now then, it says here, love is very patient and very kind. This love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. Looks for a way of being constructive. When things are down, somebody needs somebody to bring around some constructive things to help people out. Praise God. Now let's go and let's finish up. I got about 3 or 4 more scriptures here. Let's go to Colossians 3:12, please. You keep praying for us. Try to stay awake. We're about through. You won't have to be put up with me or bear with me any longer, much longer up here. Today, anyway. So let's see here what the Bible says here in 3 and 12 of Colossians. He says here, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. Put on, therefore. Said, therefore, as God's people, consecrated and dear to Him, clothe yourselves with. Then put on the garments that suit God's chosen people, His own, His beloved. Put on, therefore,
as the elect, God's own people, holy people, beloved people of God, beloved people of one another, beloved people of the neighborhood and on the job and round about, vows of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind, tenderness of heart, kindness, self-humiliation, and heart of pity, tender affections of compassion, graciousness, be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind, meekness and long-suffering. Now then, let's tie that in with Ephesians 4, 31-32. And then I'll get down to what I've held us all for this afternoon. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now then, who all should we be kind with? We should be kind especially to the unsaved. What about our children? Uh-oh. Now, I'm still a young father, so I'm preaching to me this afternoon, too. How much kindness... Now, one of the... What do you want to call it? Attributes of the 31st chapter of Proverbs speaks over here about the woman, mother. Says she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. In her tongue is a law of kindness. Now, this is a mother. What about the father? Mothers, how kind are you with your children? Fathers, how kind are you with the children? How kind are you to them when they get older? In both angles. Grandparents, how kind are you to the grandchildren? Now, I get a big, I call it a kick, out of the young grandparents. Parents don't tickle me quite as much as the young grandparents do. I just enjoy watching them with their grandchildren. I was teasing one here a while back at Monarch, and she said, well... She said, I tell you, Brother Carl, that I was just as crazy about my first daughter as I am my grandson. But said most people didn't know it because they hid it. But not totally, but I mean she just some of these grandmothers are just, I don't know, just overly crazy about these little grandchildren. That's all right. I'm not going to be too hard on them. But when they get up and start pulling some of their antics, how kind are they going to be to those little darling grandchildren? Now, how kind are we with our family? Mother, father, cousins, relatives. Again, we as a church of God profess the highest profession, basically, of anybody or people in the land. But it's these small things right here that can trip us up in people or trip us up with people in their minds. They can go, well, they're so-and-so, and they're not even very kind. Look at the way they're doing that child. Look at the way. Now, I'm for dealing with children. I'm for punishment if they need to be whipped or they need to be punished in one way, setting them in a corner, setting them on a chair, whatever. What about our neighbors? What about workers? Employees, business people that we have dealings with through the year. How kind are we to these kind of people? The Bible said there in one place, or several places, said the greatest of these is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And said, the second is love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to be kind to him, aren't you? You're going to help him. There is some people that I've known up through the country, and maybe I'm thinking about one particular man, that's lived in a certain area all of his life.
Well, pretty well.
Anyway, he's known for helping his neighbors. You know, the problem with America today is the fact that we're almost too busy to help one another. Well, a neighbor need help and you ain't nowhere around. You're off working your second job or your third job trying to keep up. And what causes that? Because, as Brother Brunner was admonishing us this morning, don't get yourself so deep in debt. People are too deep in debt. Young people are too deep in debt. They can't even be a proper neighbor to one another because they're so deep in debt. All right, now then, let's get down to the church of God. How are we in dealing with the saints? Why, brother, there should be no need to preach this here. I know we're all perfect. Lord help us, because I know we all ain't. Converts. How kind are we to converts? New little babes in Christ. There has been some of the most serious mistakes made in dealing with converts and trying to help them, but they didn't blend the right amount of kindness in there and damage them. There has been people through the years that thought a convert ought to do this and ought to do that and just tried to do this and do that, but they didn't mix the right love and kindness in there with it. This is the thing that's the icing on the cake, bless our hearts. This is the thing that's going to take the hurt out of the reproof and the admonition that we give somebody when we lay it on them, so to speak. Converts. Oh, we want to get the people saved. Well, how do we treat them after we get them saved? I'm all for getting them saved too, but how do we treat them? After we get them saved, how good do we do them, so to speak? Lord, help us this afternoon too. We're all vibrant to get people help, but we need to help them after we get them in here. Lord, give us a message one time on the responsibility of the mother. And our text, if I'm not mistaken, was over there in where it talks about the church of God, which is from above, is free, the mother of us all. And I preach it, and when the Lord burdened me, it's a Mother's Day message. And it's to the saints. How do we take care of the children? How do we deal and how do we work? How do we help them? And this afternoon, converts. Somebody said, well, I sure got to go talk to them. Do you really need to? A lot of times it'd be better for us to be on our knees and let the Holy Ghost do the talking. Because sometimes we do not, we're not kind enough to them. And there was a young man in a certain congregation. Meeting was going on, and they was two ministers there plus the pastor. And the ministers were going to go over to a house and where this new convert was working there, and they was going to go over and have lunch and visit and talk with this young man. He had some questions. His problem was he had been married. Him and his wife had separated, and now then he wanted to know if he could get remarried. And his first marriage, everything was legal, clear across the board, so there was no ifs, ands, buts about it. So two of the ministers got tied up in another situation, and that left one. And he went over there, and he reported to the pastor later and talked to him about it. But he went over there, and this young man asked his questions. He gave him good Bible answers, and I believe he was real kind. But you know, it hurt this man so much, not the way the man treated him, but when he really got down to the basis that if he was going to live for God, he could not get married again, that he said he went home and he laid out on the ground and cried like a baby. But he kept it coming. As far as I know, he's still saved. But what happened if that minister would have gone over there and been unkind along with what he'd done? It would have just tore him all to pieces. It probably destroyed him. Probably just wiped him out. I wonder how many converts through the years have been wiped out. There was an old-time minister one time. Some people come to the altar and come down there. He got down there and got to dealing with them, two people. And he tried to line them up in a certain way at the altar before they ever had a chance of doing anything else. And he tried to line them up, and they got away, and they went away from there, and they've never been back. And he was pretty blunt and pretty so forth, and I knew him pretty well. And I don't know just what all chased the people away, but I'm going to tell you, folks, when you start to cutting on people, you better put a lot of kindness in there, or it's going to cause some real problems. All right, let's step up. What about the old saints with the young saints? Now, there are several older ones in here. How does the old ones treat the young ones? Now, the Bible teaches that the... See, how does that go? The old are the mothers. And how does that go? Talking about the older sisters teach the younger sisters. That's
women teach the young women.
All right, the old women teach the young women. All right, that's good. I've got no fault with that. But how do we do it? Do we really put a good amount of kindness in there with it when we do it? I know of an older man that called up a young brother, and he let him have it for all he was worth. He had received a call from somebody, and they had told him that this brother had been harassing this person, and had been politicking and talking and doing things about them in the congregation. And this older man called this younger one. He didn't ask him if it was true. He didn't ask any questions. He just proceeded to let that young man have it with both barrels. He didn't spare nothing. The wife of the young brother was on the phone, and it just ripped her all to pieces. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. It's going to be hard for young people to have confidence in the old ones if somebody treats somebody that way. I'll be honest with you. They get up and say, I'm saved and sanctified, and yet he's just chewed him up and spit him out for all he was worth. Where was his sanctification? If he would have called and said, now, brother, I understand this, this, and this. I'd like to ask you a few questions. If he had put some real kindness and gentleness in there with it, it wouldn't have been near as bad. But I'm going to tell you, when he got through wrangling him and just about choking him plumb to death, it just tore them up good. That older man has never apologized, and I know up to this day, for that. Never asked forgiveness. And to me, that young brother was due some forgiveness, or asked forgiveness. He forgave the older man. But listen, folks, the old saints are older. They should be... Let me think here. Let me find a scripture here to back this up. It talks about the old... How does that say? The older...
Titus, do we have it here?
All right, get that for me.
You said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine.
All right, that's it.
That the aged men be sober.
Be sober.
Grave.
Grave.
Temperate.
Temperate.
Sound in faith.
Sound in faith.
In charity.
In charity.
In patience.
In patience.
The aged women likewise.
The aged men likewise. That they be in behavior
as becometh holiness,
not false accusers,
not given to much wine,
teachers of good things,
that they may teach the young women
to be sober,
to love their husbands,
love their children,
to be discreet,
chaste,
keepers at home,
good.
Obedient to their own husbands.
That the word of God be not blasphemed.
That the word of God be not blasphemed.
All right, that'd be good. All right, it's said to be grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. And then the women, likewise, that they in behavior as becometh holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is the bottom line of the whole church of God.
That's right.
It's the thing that marks us for what we are. So the older saints, I'm going to apply this to the brethren too, we need to act in behavior as becometh holiness. And anything outside of that is going to cause some real problems. And kindness is part of holiness. What about in grief? How do we treat people in the church that has gone through grief? I have found that I believe, and I don't know about out here, I haven't been out here that much, but back in the East, I think that the people back there lack one big thing, and that is knowing how to deal with grieving people. We're at a loss. There was a... I'm going to give you some warnings here. I've been through some of this, so I know what I'm talking about. When a woman, and I'm going to speak a little plain, so forgive me here. When a woman sister has a miscarriage with a child, there needs to be kindness and love and gentleness shown to her at that time. There has been statements made. I know of one case where she had 5 children and lost her 6th one. And somebody called her up on the phone in the congregation and said, "Well, you didn't need that one anyway." Lord, have mercy. You don't tell a woman that at that time. I don't care if the babe was just 3 months old, so to speak, in the womb. Still, that woman's emotions and her sorrow and her grief does not need a statement made like that. Shame on us. We need to be kind and gentle. "Sister, I love you. I'm praying for you. I want to anything I can do. Would you like me to bring you something? I'll be over with supper. I'll bring supper to you all tonight." Send them a card. Bring them some flowers. Do something, saints, to help them out besides making a statement like that. There was a case, the same case, that somebody went over to visit this sister. And she knew that the couple that was coming to visit them had gone through a similar experience as she had, and she looked up and seen them coming, and she said, "They understand. They understand." The other people, there's been such cold, cutting, unkind statements made in the line of grief. There was a case I know of where this person wasn't saved, nor the husband, but he committed suicide in a jail cell in a certain county in the state of Oklahoma. And him and this girl was estranged or separated. I don't know that they were divorced, but they were separated. They bounced around and they had a lot of problems. He had done drinking and all kinds of things, and it caused some real problems there. Neither one of them was saved. And he killed himself. And the unkind statements that was made to that girl and her family was atrocious. It was terrible. Well, you didn't love him anyway. Yeah, she did have some love for him too. Well, good riddance. Or, I don't know what all was said, but some of the people told me what was said to this girl, and it was terrible. Instead, she needed love, and she needed kindness. Even if they were separated, I understood she loved him, and for that man to commit suicide, and she knows the truth, and she knows he spent right into hell, do you know what kind of burden that'd be on a person's heart? And you don't need to tell them unkind that we need to be loving. We need to be gentle. We need to be kind. What would we do if we was in that situation and somebody told us that kind of thing? "You just had a miscarriage. Well, you didn't need that one anyway." You know what the problem is in some of these lines? Is people have never gone through this stuff and they don't understand it. Experience is what helps us to understand what other people go through. And a lot of people do not have understanding. There was a midwife in Oklahoma that told Sister Rebecca and I, we have worked close with her, she has delivered several of the children there at Guthrie, and she delivered my 2, and she helped with our twins that we lost, and
different things. Even we ended up in a hospital on that deal. They were actually born in the hospital, but she was right by our side the whole time. And she told me, and Rebecca, she said, I am amazed. Maybe she told this to Rebecca. Maybe I wasn't there. She said, I am amazed that your congregation or your people, not just Guthrie alone, but she said, I'm amazed that you don't know how to better help one another in grief than you do when you all stand right by and go right through death with them, so to speak. Don't take them to a hospital. You go right through it. You suffer with them. You agonize with them. And then when the person dies, said, you all really don't know how to help that lost loved one. Or not the lost loved one, but the one that's going through the grief. And you know, I about think she's right. I have been astounded. I have people tell me. They said, I lost my companion and my pastor didn't set foot in my house for 2 years after my husband died. Lord, have mercy. Help us, Lord. Those persons need, if nothing else, I don't know what it's like to lose my wife. But I have had to be bosom buddies with some of the brothers or a brother in the congregation that lost his. If nothing else, I could just let him cry on my shoulder for 2 or 3 hours. Maybe I could tell him what to do. I didn't know. But I'm praying for you, Gene. I'll be available anytime you want me. I've spent hours sometimes on the phone or maybe in person a long time and just listening to them and trying to be there to let them lay it off on somebody else. One person told my wife, she said she had lost twins in her first time with child, and she lost them at about 4 months. And she said, I had a sister in the congregation that done me a lot of good in just letting me talk. Just unburdened my heart. Said she didn't know what I was going through, but said she sure done me a lot of good because she was my sounding board. People need a sounding board, folks. They need somebody that's kind enough to come over and leave the laundry undone and the beds unmade and maybe this undone and that undone and come over and spend an hour or two every once in a while just being a sounding board. Kindness. Kindness goes a long way in helping somebody. People that are discouraged. Lord help us. Is it Galatians, the 6th chapter here? No. Let's see, where is that at? I'm in Ephesians. No wonder I can't find it. Don't look right. Yeah, 6:1. Now then, I'm going to broaden this discouragement out a little bit. It's not just discouragement here, but it said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If a man be overtaken in a fault, somebody goes down, how are we to treat them? If somebody goes down and we run over there with a ball bat and start hitting them over the head with it, we ain't going to get nowhere. They know what they've done. You don't have to go to them and say, you're here because you done this. You don't have to tell them anything. They know what they've done. Maybe they didn't trust God all the way. Maybe they ended up in a hospital because the pain was too great. A minister told me a story about another minister. That's what happened to him. They couldn't handle it, and they went under. And they went to the arm of flesh. And I don't approve of that, but they did it. And this brother that was telling me this, another minister, she was a sister minister, she laid judgment to the line against that man over and over and over. And he warned her, said, you better be careful. Now then, the Bible said here, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of what? Meekness. Let's add kindness and gentleness, and all in the same package here. And then it says, considering thyself. Now, folks, this ought to help us if we'll keep these two words in line when we go to dealing with people in this kind of area, considering thyself. We're not out of the gunshot of the devil. We're not out of the gunshot of temptation. And here we are. We're going in, and this sister laid judgment to the line against this person. Wasn't very merciful or kind at all, I guess. Just laid judgment down.
And this brother that told me said, Brother Carl, said in a little while, this sister got something wrong that was comparable what the man suffered, and said she was very nearly tempted to go to a hospital for the same thing. The Lord allowed that thing to bound back on her. I'm going to tell you, we need to be kind. We need to consider ourselves, lest thou also be tempted, see? Lest we be tempted. I'd never do that. Some people get pretty bold. I'd never do that. I'm going to tell you what, things happen sometime that you might almost consider doing some things that you may never think you would consider. Now, the grace of God is what brings us through. One sister said one time that visited us, spent a Sunday afternoon with us in West Virginia just before we left to start back home in 87. And she heaped some roses and praise on me for my trust in the Lord and all this. And I appreciate that. But when she left, I said, Becky, it's not this boy that's done it. Or this man, I said, it's the grace of God got me through this. It ain't Carl Schaefer. Don't go saying, oh, Brother Carl done this and done that. Boy, just wonderful, Brother Carl. I said, let's leave all that out and let's say thank God for the grace of God that got me through this situation. Because if it hadn't been for His mercy, there's been times that I just about couldn't stand what I was going through. And every time I got to that, the Lord come in almost instantly every time and give me a touch. If He hadn't have done it, I don't know what would have happened to me. I would have just, I guess, possibly passed out from all the pain and different things. All right? In sickness, in dealing with people that are sick, how kind are we to them? How kind are we to people that are sick? People that get discouraged, we need to deal with them in kindness and love and tenderness and mercy, helping them to get back on their feet. In sickness, we need to be kind to them. In reproving others. In reproving others. Sometimes, some ways I may be repeating myself on a little bit of this. But how do we deal with people when we reprove them? Now I'm talking about grown saint with a grown saint. I ain't talking about young and converts and young people and all that. I'm talking about old with old. Or maybe minister with minister. Or maybe a couple with another couple. Somebody that's got some age and some experience and some bore some fruits of righteousness in their life. How do we deal with them when we reprove them? Lord, help us. Always remember, as kindness mixed in with any reproof makes it go a lot better. Kind and loving, the song says, to each other. Gentle words, doesn't it say? Thank you. Let's get this here. Kind and loving to each other, gentle words to all we meet. Thus we follow Christ our Savior, proving all His service sweet. Let us ever love each other with a heart that's warm and true, ever doing to our brother as to us we'd have him do. When the heart is sad and lonely and the eyes with tears overflow, gentle words and deeds of kindness fall like sunbeams on the snow. Wouldn't that be warmness in a cold, hard time? I'm going to tell you that's what we need. Tender, kind, loving prayers. Tender, gentle, kind words. Let us help our fallen brother, lift him gently by the hand, speaking words of cheer and comfort, point him to a better land. In this world of toil and sorrow, many hearts are full of care. But let us live to serve our Master and each other's burdens bear. Kindness. Kindness. How kind are we to one another? This is going to make attractive the way, is our kindness.
And Lord, help us to practice this. Now, I'm talking to me, too, this afternoon. But I can sometimes be blunt and so forth. But the old saying goes, how's it doing to others as you have them doing to you? That's scripture, but it ain't quoted just quite like the Bible says it, but that's what it means. We want people to treat us some way, but how do we treat others? Are we kind? I was in a woodcarver's museum in Wisconsin one time, several years ago, and it had the life-size figurines of Christ and of the Last Supper and of the temptation of Christ and different things. But in one of them, it had the Lord standing there, and he was just about my size and build. And he had three precious little children of different nationalities in front of him. And he was looking down at them, and he had his hands out here about like this, extended to them. And he was looking down, and the expression, now this was a wood carve. This was a wood carving, but the expression on that face melted my heart. I thought, that is my Lord and Savior, so to speak. I could see Jesus extending. The apostles rebuked the children one time, didn't he? And the Lord rebuked the apostles. I'm going to tell you, the Lord loves the children. He loves spiritual children, too. And he loves for us to be kind to the whole household of faith. Isn't there a scripture? How does that go? Something about the household of faith. And especially to those of the household of faith. Be kind. I appreciate your attention and time and desire your prayers. I want to be kind and loving as I ought to be to all men.